Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another Thursday with Dr. Paula Price and the Paula Price Show. How are you doing today, Dr. Price?
I am doing wonderful. You know how I love Thursday, so I'm pretty much going to say I'm wonderful, but always ask just in case I'm more wonderful than I was before.
Yes, well, I know the only thing that will pull you away from your continuum work and your book is your show.
I know. And, you know, we haven't told them about that, so, you know, they probably don't even know that we have such a wonderful text coming out, but it's a good time to talk about it. What do you think?
I think it's always a good time to promote what you're doing next.
Because I'm always doing something.
Exactly. Actually,
you know, I'm excited because I have been working on for the last several months a book that is, I believe, revolutionary for apostles and prophets, but also for prophetic people and Bible students, people who want to learn God's word. And it's my book is on the continuum. And here's why you're going to like it. It answers a number of those questions that we've all had. Why did God make the devil? Why do we have sin? How does prophecy work? Where does it come from? Why is there evil on the earth? Why does bad things happen to good people? You know, all those things that tend to stumble our faith. You know, why does God have the rule? Well, are we under law? Are we under grace? Well, if we're under grace, then why does the law matter? If this is an extensive work, and I'm excited about it because, frankly, even though I'm the author, I think it's one of the best things that I have written, and you all know I have written a lot. And so I'm excited about this book because it deals with that. It also takes you all the way back to heaven and then brings you through everything God is doing on the earth and then takes you back to heaven again where we all end. And so it's based on the 14 events. We call it the unbroken chain of the 14 events, which is the unbroken chain of events that brought this world, Jesus Christ, and Christianity. I don't have to tell you how much Christianity is under attack, and it is. And it's under attack because its guardians have broken the continuum. Its guardians have lost touch with what God is doing. Most of us, I mean, most of them, because I'm not putting myself in that, but most of them, don't even know why we have a Bible. We've got like 900 versions of it, so people are confused, but we don't have the fundamental foundation of why God did what we've done. I think the church right now is kind of back there in Hebrews 6, at 5 and 6, where Paul said, you know, by the time you guys need to be teaching this, we got to go back and teach you the first principles of Christ. One of the things that I appreciate about this research that I've done for this book, and it's been extensive, I appreciate that this Bible that we've ignored, that we have trampled under, that we've wrangled, literally talks about Jesus Christ from before to the cross to forever and how we don't know our Savior. And so I love this work. I'm telling you, Ashley, I'm having a blast writing it, but I believe that we're going to genuinely revolutionize the church and revolutionize scripture and doctrine and how people study the Bible, but I believe we're going to bring a whole lot of people back home to the cross, to the throne of God, to the heart and soul of God. You know, one of the things that we forget is that when you are really walking in your office, you turn people to God, not to yourself. You know, you turn their hearts back to God because the whole purpose of walking in our positions is that we represent the founder and creator of our offices and we bring them back what they have sent us out to gather. And Jesus said, if you're not gathering for me, you're scattering abroad. So I'm excited about the continuum. And Ashley, you know, you don't get a chance to escape it. Both you and Tyler, you know, as my prophets, you all get to get all of the hot stuff as it's running off the press for me. And so that's why I am with the continuum. Hallelujah.
Amen. And yes, we do without apology. Take it all.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful thing about being the prophet under apostle. You get to be their sounding board, so I get to bounce things off. And I have to tell you, I'm impressed with you guys because you guys soar with me, and you can admit, I'm sure you can tell them yourself, how serious this work is and how extensive it is to get God's people back on track, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. We have, you know, now it's kind of like people are getting saved on the broad strokes of Christianity. Stroke number one, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Stroke number two, God is love, because, you know, somehow we're always going to get that in there. Maybe forgive your neighbor, maybe. And so we just kind of have been saved on the broad strokes and have not realized we don't know what this thing is really all about. We can't explain it in detail to each other in everyday plain language. You know, I was on Facebook yesterday surfing around, and, you know, the names of the guilty shall remain silent, but some of the posts from some prophetic people are so spiritually convoluted. I'm like, what are you saying? And I'm a prophet, and I, you know, I'm studying word. I'm under you. I'm getting deep revelation, so I'm not mentally shallow in that area. And I thought, what is this? And I'm thinking, how in the world can anybody even explain something like that? Well, we can hardly understand it. So I appreciate even you writing the dictionary, the handbook, the continuum series, plain everyday English language, sentencing structure, all of these things to enable us to understand it and then explain it. You know, we have to be able to sell Christianity to people, and that's what we don't think. We think that we just have to sling the name of Jesus and pray, and everybody wants to be saved. They just don't know it kind of thing, and everybody doesn't think that, but a lot of people do. But we have to sell it. When you see these other marketing strategies, especially you go online to, like, YouTube, the Mormons are selling Mormonism. Scientology is selling it. They're packaging it. They're framing it. Catholicism has their branding and their packaging. And the mainline evangelical Christianity is kind of at a loss for what our own branding is and who Jesus Christ really is. And so I'm excited about this work because I know we're going to see this show up in a lot of forms and in a lot of fashions that are going to brand Jesus Christ the way he is, not the way we think we should make him, so we can make him palatable to sinners. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing, but it's not effective.
It's not effective. Well, you know, I love that you brought up a couple of things. I like it because, you know, my readership goes two extremes. You know, when you deal with Paula Price, you've got one of two extremes. You're either going to love, or not. And I'll just leave it at that. And so I appreciate that. I have quite a few people and prophets today that, you know, my books, my dictionary and all of that have been used quite a little bit, but they still have issues. You know, remember, and you all run into it, you know, that I'm legalistic, that I'm rigid, and I'm this and that. And, you know, until I studied the continuum, their words almost, and I say almost, had an impact. When I started going through this continuum, going back to what you said about the prophetic words, number one, I don't understand how anybody can be a prophet and not know the word of Jesus Christ. Now, I realize that we are in a gift mentality, and so a gift mentality means you just bring your talent to the altar and you just do what you want, but that's not an office. And what I realize is that we don't have a lot of officers, because the first rule of an officer is you guard your office, and you use your office exists to guard the institution. And one thing these prophets are today, and so many of them, and I've met some wonderful prophets, great people who are in it for God, but we still, by and large, have too many gifters who are guarding their opportunities, guarding their anointing, guarding their prophecies, and all of that. That comes under Ezekiel 13, those that are guarding their prophecies. It says, you know, they run around prophesying, hoping they can make their word come to pass. Ezekiel 13 is a scary chapter for prophets. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel 13 and 14 are both scary chapters for prophets. And so my number one issue with these prophets today is that, well, actually twofold. Number one, they don't know the Bible. You know, Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Here's Jesus standing in front of them, the very author of the books they read every week, and they didn't recognize the God. That means when the word got read, they went to sleep. Their mind checked out. And so they didn't recognize him, which was what made the apostles, the first apostles, stand out. Andrew said, hey, come here. We found the guy. He went to get Peter. Come here. I found the guy that Moses and the prophets talked about. He's the Christ. Why? What did Jesus say? What did he do? What was his comment? We only have the synopsis of what he said. But what did he do to let Andrew know that he was, in fact, the Messiah incarnate? Those kinds of questions you don't hear in prophetic circles. Let's go a step further. So what did he say? What did he do? But then what kind of training, readiness, preparation did Andrew get from John the Baptist that told him, without a doubt, these are the telltale signs. This is a profile of the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, he will say this, he will think this, he will behave this way, he will look that way. And that is what we lack today. And where did Andrew get that information? Where did Nathaniel get that information? Where did Peter get it from? Thou art the Christ. We're going to use that statement one time, but the first person to say it was Andrew. The first person to recognize Jesus was Andrew, Peter's brother. Okay, but where did they get those facts? Because what we lack today, I believe, I know, forget believe, I already seen it, are prophetic facts. You've got too much of the prophet and not enough of the spirit of the prophet and the testimony of the man that supposedly they represent. We have so much of the humanist in the prophet, they start talking about stuff, I'm like, what? You know, my big bugaboo is when people start measuring prophets by whether or not they know your phone number. Come on, Google knows your number. That's not an achievement. Well, they know your bank account. Do you really want your identity out there like that? Do you really want somebody to publicize your identity? Think about it. You know, well, they know my name. You know your name. They could. Do you realize that somebody can sit in your meeting while you're there and hear you talk to your friend and key you up in Google? In today's time, that's not a massive achievement. Now, that's taking nothing from the people who've got that as a legitimate calling, who've got that as a legitimate whatever, but think about what we're calling it. We're calling the mastery of prophecy, we're calling just data. That's nothing but your data. That's vital statistics. A lot of people have that. You can get that off of people's registrations, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not what told them that Jesus had appeared. And that's the piece that gets me. Every prophet that I train has got to know their predecessors. You've got to know what the prophets before you said and what the ones coming after you must maintain. If it had not been for Jeremiah being faithful with Isaiah's prophecy, if it had not been for Jeremiah being faithful, keeping that continuum, that continuity, but being faithful, do you realize that Daniel would not have known that Cyrus was the king to bring bring God's people back home? If it had not been for Isaiah faithfully giving the word of the Lord and everybody following it, nobody would have recognized. They couldn't have found Isaiah in the scripture. They couldn't have found a Cyrus coming along. And even though he wasn't a Jew, he still was God's prophesied person. And we don't have that today. And so we have people who are being told things that break the continuum, that break them right out of the line of Christ, break them right out of the will of God. Why? Because they don't know what we're talking about. Because prophecy is not just an institution. Prophecy is the utterance of an author, of a person's words. And so the continuum is amazing. As a matter of fact, I've been working on it since this morning, and the revelation that God has given me about this thing is blowing me away. I'm thinking, God, when I got saved, I would have liked to have known this. And how can they use it? Perfect Bible study, apostolic prophetic Bible study, because as a founding apostle, I have to find out what God's been doing so I can keep it up. Most apostles are not that interested in what God has been doing. They're interested in what man has been doing. Not most, a lot, because I don't think it's most. A lot of apostles are just interested in what man has been doing. And so somebody goes in and they have a great church, they're an apostle. Wait a minute, well, how did that happen? Because 15 years ago, 25 years ago, that wasn't it. So I'm excited about the continuum, but the biggest piece that I want to say is that Isaiah said if they don't come speaking according to this word, it is because there's no truth in them, there's no light in them, and that's the standard of the prophet. He said they've got to speak according to this truth and this testimony, and so it's going to be great. When we get this book out, and I don't even know when. You know, right now I'm almost done, but every time I think I'm almost done, God said, well, why don't we just cover this ground and cover that ground? This thing covers so many revelations and so many answers to what we're struggling with today that when the Lord gets it in the right hands, I believe he's going to really make some changes in his kingdom. And so I'm glad, Ashley, you brought that up because you know that's my bugaboo. What, in fact, is the prophet supposed to say? And if they all they can give you of your vital statistics, then you need to understand that's not serving God because God knows your vital statistics. That's why he comes up at your house. That's why he's in your dreams. He knows where you live. He knows the day you were born. He knows how old you are. That's not his issue. His issue is where is his testimony in you and how is his testimony bringing his will to pass for you and bringing you into his blessings and abundance. That is the key. So as you can see, Ashley, you know I'm hot on this, right?
Oh, yes, because it's hot. And, you know, Dr. Bryce, sometimes I can't stand it. You are so consistent, it's scary. You're in a classroom session that is going live tonight. The theme for this week is on apostleship, but it's really when you teach on apostleship, prophets always apply. And so for your teaching, you discuss actually the prophet's role in identifying Christ in this generation. And you talked about, now you did this, this went up, you did this originally over a year ago, I think. But you talk about that and how the apostles that recognized him and John the Baptist, and I pulled a clip, if we have time to get to it today, I'll play it, from that teaching about that very thing. So I love being on the same page.
Well, play it right now because, see, we're going to wrap this up. You got it?
All right. Yeah, I got it.
Do it.
Here we go. The title is called The Power of One, and you're talking about apostles and prophets working together. So here's that clip. It's really good.
See, somebody got it. Now, John happened to have done his job very well. He did his job so well that when Jesus was just walking on by, Andrew said to Peter, because we never talk about Andrew being the first one to recognize the Messiah. So Andrew said, hey, I just met the one that they talked about in the scriptures. I just met the one that they said was coming. I just met the Messiah. Peter, come meet him. So Peter was not the first one to recognize Jesus. So Andrew recognizes the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brings his brother to him. Nobody questions, how did he know Jesus? He's not a rabbi. He's not a priest. He's not a scribe. But yet, he knows. He knows because John did his job so well. He said, you exist to recognize the coming Messiah. A prophet has got to know the Messiah when he shows up. Because that's the legacy of the prophet's mantle. John apparently taught pure words because they knew where to find him. The scriptures that Moses and the law, the man that the scriptures and Moses and the law talked about, prophesied. But John obviously had something unique because you see the rabbis and the priests were talking about Jesus too. See, everybody was looking for the Messiah. In today's world, in this highly occultic witchcraft environment, they're all prophesying Jesus Christ. We might want to think that Sylvia Brown is hurting us. I contend she's helping us. Because all we have to do now is reveal the counterfeit from the truth. So John did some amazing things. He had his prophets so well trained that any one of them could say, that's the Messiah. Any one of them could find scriptures to validate what they saw as a revelation. And any one of them could go out and gather the masses and the forces for him. As it happened, John's first six prophets ended up being apostles. Didn't know that, did you? John ends up having to release. Now, here's where the chief prophets of the day and those who've gone before us have missed God. Had to release Andrew. Had to release Peter. Had to release James. Had to release John. Somebody hear me, right? Had to see, because some of y'all ain't ready to release stuff. And so, John had one shortfall that cost him his head. And that is, he didn't want to get out the way and become alongside the purpose for which he was put in ministry. Because he didn't want to partner with, God severed his head, broke his headship. Because the headship was going to pass to Jesus no matter what. So John does this great job, this illustrious job of getting these people ready for the Messiah, whom he knows is the Lord. In John 3, he said, he is above, I'm from beneath. Listen, I can't even tie his shoes. He goes from can't tie his shoes to his disciples scrapping with Jesus' disciples at the baptismal pool. So God said, I need Jesus more than I need John. So I'm going to arrest John and decapitate John because he wouldn't yield his headship. Now, you won't hear that example explained from by pastors because pastors don't think like that. Because we don't think kingdom, government, preservation, etc. So, but before he's decapitated, John, every one of them, Nathaniel, knew Jesus. All of the people that were in John's classes knew the true apostle, knew the true Messiah. Their job was to go out and gather the rest. Now, understand that from the moment John dies, prophets are no longer the center of the story.
And that is the sneak peek of tonight's In the Classroom.
Well, you really went out there today, didn't you?
That was good. I was shouting all over again.
I tell you what, but you know, I tell you, I pray that God's teams come together because that team thing is needed. Well, Ashley, we've had a great time. You know, we had church by ourselves. Do we have anybody else on the line to join us? We've already had church. We're set now for the week.
That's right. I'm telling you.
Whew, Jesus. Well, who do we have on today?
All right. We have first in line, Yolanda. You know, I lost her for a second, but she's back. She is calling actually from North Carolina, and she would like general prayer for direction. So, Yolanda, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine, Yolanda. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah? How can I help you today?
I'm just calling in today for direction and some clarity as to what direction my life is going. I kind of feel stuck, so just want to get prayer for direction and clarity.
Well, I'm going to pray for that, but Yolanda, have you been to my website to take my assessment?
I have not taken the assessment.
Well, you know you need to do that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And here is why I want you to do it. Everybody can prophesy, and we can all speak into your, you know, future. God opens your book to us. He can... You know, we can speak into your future, but it's still only going to give you a little bit of the information. You won't get what to do with that information after the fact. If I say to you, thus saith God, thou art a so-and-so, which, you know, I can pray that through, it still doesn't get you in purpose. It just awakens you to the fact that God has one written down for you somewhere. Now, how are you fulfilled that? What schools do you go to? What training do you take? Where do you go to? I mean, what's the most compatible mentor? You know, you need that.
Right.
Have you read any of my books?
I have not.
Okay, so you realize that you're going to have a lot of catching up with me to do, right?
Yes, ma'am. I just recently got introduced to your show and to you.
So this is your first call?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, am I glad? Welcome. I can start
Thank
saying
you.
Welcome. And so when I'm done, I want you to go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and I want you to say, I want this assessment. And there are some articles there or whatever. I'm sure that when you go there, it'll guide you to what to do. But I think that you would do so well with that. You have such a great heart for the Lord. Now, I want to ask you, do you have any experience in children's ministry?
Yes, ma'am. At my past church, I was a youth leader.
Because God hasn't lifted that off of you.
Okay.
You have quite an anointing for young people and for working with children. You, whatever else you end up doing, you're going to work with children. You're going to do so, I think, professionally. What do you do professionally?
Right now I am self-employed. I do consulting for nonprofit organizations.
Well, you're going to do something with children as well, and it might be a secondary thing. But I want you to know that God says that he is not done with you in children's ministry. That's where he wants you to go. You see how nice that was?
Yes.
And so here's what you need. You need to find out, are you still in a church?
I am.
Okay. Then you need to find out if you're doing that. You might want to consider also doing something in the area of daycare or child care for either youngsters or after school. I see you, frankly, I'm looking into your book, and I see you in an after school program, and I see a computer room, and I see you
okay.
doing things, helping people with computers. Does that speak to you?
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I see right now. I see God. I see a room full of computers, and I see you helping kids do a couple of things, get through school. I see also some sort of homeschooling kind of thing, but I also see you helping them get their diploma.
Okay.
And so what I would suggest is that you realize that you're probably called more to the marketplace than to the church, but yet there is that thing for you to minister the word of the Lord and to develop people for Christ in the house of God. But you are going to definitely do a great work with computers and helping kids, youngsters, really find their place in God. I do see you're going to have your own school, but it is not just going to be Sunday school. I think you're going to look at doing that as time goes by. That is what I see for you right now. Does that bear witness at all?
Yes, ma'am.
In what way?
Doing the children's ministry is something that I had missed. Marketplace is my heart because I have a heart for business and helping others kind of reach their goal and some of the goals that I've reached. And just my testimony in itself of being raised in a single-parent home, helping kids who think they have no other option see that there are definitely options that they can take to get to the places they need to go. So it definitely resonates with what I have a heart to do.
Well, now you have to go back and do the business plan and get the team thing. And if you find, listen, if you found money for everybody else, I'm sure you'll find a little something for yourself, you know?
Right.
You might find a little something for yourself. And perhaps, Yolanda, perhaps you have people who are already in your sphere doing this that you can think about partnering with. You know, I'm a great one for not reinventing the wheel. We can all do things on our own starting from ground zero, but ground zero adds years that someone else may have already put in. So my suggestion to you is to also see who God has and begin to pray about who God has. And for sure, you know, you can do the whole training thing and school thing. You can do in a lot of existing organizations. So that's something I genuinely hope you try to do before you launch out on your own and think that God wants you to do this by yourself. And because there's a lot of hits. And sometimes we just take hits unnecessarily. We don't really need them. And right. So that's one thing I would like to encourage you to do.
Okay.
Well, now let's pray before we let you go, because we're going to get you, we're going to unleash you on the youngsters so we can get them in purpose and destiny. Father, thank you for Yolanda. Thank you for her life. Thank you, Lord, for her soul. Thank you for her spirit. Thank you, God, for the resilience. She is one resilient woman. She's got a bounce back spirit, God, that you can rely on, that she's not going to stay down too long. She's not going to get lost because she is a woman of focus and purpose. So I'm thanking you, Lord, first of all, for what you've revealed to be her purpose and destiny in you. I'm also thanking you, Father God, for what you're going to use her to do. Now, I'm asking that you would release your resources as well as your revelation, God, to begin to guide her steps and to alter her path so that she can enter into what you've ordained. I praise you, Father God, for divine connections and divine collaboration for her to go forward and to fulfill your vision for her life. And I thank you for giving her favor, God, making every crooked path straight, and God causing her to walk on smooth pavement and not just cobblestones and stony places. And I praise you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm glad you called. Hey, check in again with us, okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Ashley.
Dr. Brett.
Are you on the line?
I am on the line. I have to say, I love the format of this show. I just got a message on my Facebook from one of your listeners, Maureen. She said she is on a train to Georgia listening to the show. I just love hearing stuff like that. People all over the place can tune in.
Oh, isn't that marvelous? And that is why, Ashley, you and I love technology.
Yes.
We do. Well, Maureen, thank you for listening in. Know that I love you, and I'm certainly looking forward to us connecting. Now, Prophet Ashley, do we have another caller?
You do. You have on the line Emma from Connecticut. She was actually at the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, and she would just like for you to pray over her that what happened to her. You know, we have a common theme happening. People are still processing what in the world God did to them in a good way at the forum. I mean, it was such a shock, I think, to people's spirits and soul at the same time, and then their mind, that they're still walking around almost in a prophetic date. Like, I cannot believe I got this kind of information, so much information, in such a short amount of time, and it's that potent and relevant. So, Emma, welcome to the line. Welcome to the Paula Price Show. I mean, you've met the woman herself, so welcome.
Well, thank you. And hello, Dr. Paula Price.
How are you, Emma, from Connecticut? And I'm sorry we had so many people that I don't remember the faith. But I want to tell you one thing. I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you have a son?
Do I have a son? Yes.
Because God is doing something in the life of your son. The Holy Spirit says that you want to sit down and talk to him and to really let him feel what's going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
Your son has a similar call to yours, but it's getting a little bit muddled. He's getting information from other things.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, as his mom, you can forestall that.
Okay.
But he said, spend time with your son and be a mom.
You're right in it, because that was basically the conversation I kind of had with myself the other day, you know what I mean, and just reconnecting and being mom, you know, because he's grown, so it's hard sometimes to get in there, but I'm like, no, I got to reconnect.
Well, obviously God is doing something with him, because
mm-hmm.
when you were on hold, God was talking to me when she was telling me who you were.
Mm-hmm.
He says, now listen, it's not over for you. And he has a very similar call. He has a great destiny, and destiny is awakening him.
Mm-hmm.
Even as we speak, God is dealing with his heart, and he's calling him into purpose. Now, he's been trying to run due north to due south, because
mm-hmm.
he was things professionally, but he's going to learn that God's professionality is not just limited to the church. He is right. He belongs where he belongs, but he doesn't have to forego God or suppress his faith just because God has called him to do it. And if he sits down to listen to the Lord, God is going to show him how to make this thing work, because he's had way too many hiccups way too long.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So anyway, that was a freebie. How'd you like that one, Emily?
I love that one myself.
Just because you called in, you got a blessing for your son. And God says, stop thinking that what he was and how he barked at you when he was a kid, when he was 16, 15 through 17, he barked because he was really trying to stretch out into that manhood. That guy is gone. You just have to make sense. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we, as Christian moms and dads, we sound so religious, popular. I don't know. You know, we heard Ashley say in the beginning of the call, sometimes we can sound so religious. We're abstract. People are like, I can't lay hold of that. And so God says, that's your son. You know him.
Mm-hmm.
He has your life. And so guess what? Ask the Lord. He said, ask of me concerning my son.
Amen. I will.
And so spend a little time asking God, and he's going to give you the answer. But this is a great God, and he just really needs answers. And right now, if you have prudent answers, which, of course, you got some of when we were here at the forum, you have prudent answers, God's going to give you his ear. You see, God is God who gives us people's ear and gives people to us. It's God who does that. And so he says, you know, pull back on that mama religious thing, because there are some other things that you have to offer that are very rich.
Okay.
Now, I want to ask you another question. You know, I'm full of questions for you today. Isn't this marvelous?
That's okay.
Are you on one of our programs?
I am. I've been looking through them and trying to decide and just looking. I'm not sure where I want to go, you know, and I'm asking God for direction where I want to go.
Well, you need to be, at the very least, Emma, on one of our life advisements.
Okay.
Because you need a sounding board. And that's something that our life advisements do. They give you that advisor, that prophet advisor, who's going to be a sounding board.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of awakening. I'm looking in your spirit, and I mean, it is bubbling. You're like, God, where do I begin? How do I sort through? This is very challenging for you, because you went from, I don't know if I'm even going to hang with this thing, to, oh, God, I'm ready to get back in the race.
Exactly.
Where's the race? You know, wait, hold it. Where's the race? Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. And you know, I don't even know what it is. And so the Holy Spirit wants you to know you need help sorting that out. So when we're done today, call, and I don't know who did your – did you do your assessment yet?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so whoever did that L1 for you, you need to call that advisor and have them put you on. I don't care if you're just on for 6 months. It's not a lifetime commitment, but for 6 months, you need help sorting this thing out.
Right.
God is not stopped talking to you. He is in your sleep. He's in your dreams. You're at work. You're trying to cook. He just won't stop, because he is waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
He is, and I want you to know what you feel that you think is negative is quite positive, because God is excited that he's got your ear and your attention.
Well, I'm excited about that myself.
I know I'd be. You know, because it's a funny thing. When you have hit the true anointing, the true mantleship of the office of the apostle and the prophet, you're going to get the backing of God. You get the company. Because you get to hear what's going on. You're no longer out there in the field having to make it up as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
And so God's like, okay, I want to bring you in now. And so that's where you and God are today. I want to bring you in, not reel you in, but I want to bring you in now. Now that I got the ear, and now that I've retuned how you hear me, I want to bring you in. And that is why I so urge you to get on a life advisement.
Okay.
All right, so
All right.
When you're done, call them, and you're going to love it. And you know what you're going to love?
What?
You're going to love that person that you can say, you know, God is doing this and God is saying that, and where do I go with that? You know, and I feel safe in telling you that, because we are who opened you up. We are who awakened you. So let us finish our job.
All right.
All righty.
I can do that.
Let me pray.
All right.
Okay, let me pray. Father, thank you for Emma. Thank you for who she is. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in her life to get her even to this call today. I praise you, Jesus Christ, that you have not stopped working in her spirit. You've not stopped communing with her. And, Lord, that you are committed to her fulfilling purpose and not leaving this planet with her work undone. I'm grateful to you for that, God, and I know that she is also. Now, Lord, I also send forth your spirit to minister to her son so that they can get on the same page because he, too, has great footsteps to follow in. I just see that, God, and you want to order his steps. And so, God, I thank you that the work, the awakening that you've begun in him, that you intensify it so that we can also fill them, bring them both into purpose, Lord, and then cause his mom to hear what he needs to hear so that she can say it in a way that he'll receive it. And I thank you for doing it all, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Be blessed, Almighty, because we certainly love to bless you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. I enjoyed our chat.
Hey, I did too. I'm excited. I am.
Okay, we'll be hearing from you then. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
Amen. Good. That's good.
That's good. You know, I think we should take a moment right now, Ashley, and encourage our Tulsa Prophetic Forum attendees, because I know what my anointing does. I know what those events do. And they, you know, God gets excited, and he's like, hey, I'm getting this into some new people. He wants to get a force. He's working on getting a force. I think we need to encourage them to call back to the office and to get on if they've been assessed, and a lot of them were when they got there, then to get on at least a life advisement. Let's do a 90-day, you know, 30-day, not a 30-day, 3-month to 6-month experience where you can have that sounding board, because that's what they're all saying. We need to be able to sound this off. And, you know, you guys as advisors are the great choice for that. What do you think? Don't
Amen.
You think it's a great idea?
Oh, I definitely agree. We've actually sent out and started our campaign of making sure that everybody who came to the forum has the opportunity to take their assessment if they didn't. And let me tell you what, Dr. Price, the response is overwhelmingly positive. We are doing our advisement schedule is like stacked back to back to back. And Prophet Tala today, she had to rework one of her advisements because she's like, wait, we scheduled one during the show and I have to be on the show listening. And so we are stacking ourselves to the ceiling with our post-assessment advisements, and we're having a wonderful conversion rate after that assessment, then the advisement, and then they're getting on the program today. I signed up somebody for the life advisement for the exact reason that you just said. You need a sounding board before we can even get into developing you to be the quality minister that this assessment says you have the potential to become. We have to work through your soul, your brokenness, restoration, some forgiveness, all kinds of things that we need to get out of the way. And what I love about our program is it gives us enough foresight and recommendation to differentiate between the person who is ready to jump into their ministry training program and and the person who has to take that 3 to 6 months or a year or however long it takes to get their personal self together. So when they get in their ministry training, they're successful out the gate and not having to be 6 months into this thing realizing, oh, we made a mistake, we should have done this first. So the insight on the assessment is absolutely amazing. And today, and I had somebody call yesterday who also came to the forum, and they had taken their assessment before the forum. They're getting on their life advisement as well to work through some other things that would ultimately hinder their ability to live up to the potential that God has called them to do. People in general want to do right by their calling. They really do. But there are some things going on in their life that can trip them up. So that advisement, that life advisement track, is a wonderful way to work through those issues that will trip you up along the way.
They are. It is a great tool. And what helps us, which is why we pair the two, we pair the assessment with the advisement, is because your assessment results will tell you how much advisement you need. How much prep work do I need? Because so many times, especially if you are prophetic or when you hear from the Spirit of God, because we hear from God in the now, we think we have to act on what God says in the moment. And sometimes God is announcing that, okay, I'm ready to get you ready. Not I'm ready to put you in. I'm ready to get you ready. And so what we do is we also help people avoid the trap of jumping into ministry too soon. Soul's not ready. Family's not ready. Marriage is not ready. You know, job isn't ready. Whatever. Body, even. We've had to advise people, okay, you know, this is not just spiritual. You have some things. Go see your doctor. Go see a nutritionist. You have some things that are within your control, but that are not spiritual, that you need to work on. And so these advisements, this life advisement track, I don't know why every prophet isn't on it. Because, you know, we get so many people say, you know, I just really want to know what my purpose is, or I want to know what God wants. The assessments will give you that. But then you need that person to help you work through it, because we're not accustomed to working through spiritual matters intelligently. We are so unaccustomed to applying our intelligence to anything Christ and church. It is unbelievable. So we want to feel our way through everything and feel our way through purpose and feel our way through this. And there's a reason why you need the brain and the heart. The brain will make the heart make sense, and the heart will make the brain tender to God. So you need them both. You can't have either or. And so I would encourage every one of you out there, you know, to get that assessment, get that thing done. We are getting such a response to them. I'm stunned. And, I mean, we're like, oh, God, where's this, you know, where are we going to go with this, because it's getting so huge. Talking to new advisors, talking to potential advisors all the time. But get that assessment done. And then, you know, don't just wait for the call. Some of you, after the call, you Facebook me and you tell me I didn't get on. Hey, get an advisor. Then you don't have to worry about it, because one of these advisors will be with you as many times in a month as you decide you want to arrange. Then do that. But get an advisor and get some help and get people who have the flame that you're calling in on for me. You know, these are my trainees. That's not taking anything from anyone else. It's not telling you get out of your church, don't trust your pastor. But one of the things we can all agree on is that apostles and prophets, apostolic and prophetic people, are special in the sense that they need a particular type of treatment. So that's what my encouragement is. I will say it a couple of times, because I'm excited not only that God has entrusted this to me, but that this thing is so precise and so accurate. It's stunning. I know that it's a tool of God, because it is stunning. And we have the results and the feedback to prove it. Not a waste of your money and not a waste of your time. Hallelujah. Did we do that well, Ashley?
Yes, we did. And I would like to add one other thing that you talked about Tuesday with Prophet Tala in the marketplace ministry aspect, and how this is our business branch. This is our business branch of your ministry, and as a result, there is a confidentiality that comes with this by law, the privacy laws, where we are confidential with the information that is shared. We have people in the program who are here because they either don't want to always have to deal with somebody in their ministry with their issues, or they just need to work them out with an objective party. And there are various reasons why, but they can come to us because we are objective. Even if we are in fellowship with that ministry, that information is not shared. And you've had to deal with this with some of the leaders of, hey, these are my people. I want to know. Well, by law, we cannot share that information. So when people get on these programs, what is in this company stays within this company and will not bleed back and filter back into the ministry that they're serving in either.
Exactly. And people want to do well by their pastors. They don't want their pastors to constantly think that they're a threat to their vision or their mission. And we're a good way to do that, so that you're offering the best to your church and the best to your pastors. Because let me tell you something, I am hot on you staying connected with the people of God. I'm hot on you staying with your leaders if they're good for you and effective. I'm hot on that. But I do want you to know there are times, you know, you think about it. You don't go and tell your pastor, okay, well, wait a minute, doc, I want to go visit my pastor first to see how I'm doing, or whatever. You need to go to a doctor, go to a doctor. And if you do, your doctor is not obliged to tell your pastors what's going on unless you release them. And so We want to give you that opportunity to always put your best foot forward, your best self forward, you know, not just your best gifts, but your best self, so that when people use you in their ministries, they feel encouraged, they feel covered and protected. So I'm hot on that. And you're right, that's a good point. One of these Thursdays, we're going to talk a little bit about the whole marketplace piece, but those of you who haven't heard, when this is over, go to our Blog Talk site and pull up Tuesday's discussion. I think that you're going to find it quite helpful. Ashley, who do we have next?
You have next on the line Tina from Virginia. Tina, welcome to the call. She is calling to make sure that she is headed in the right direction, Dr. Price.
Hello.
So, Tina, are you there? There you go.
Yes. Good afternoon.
If you have the show playing in the background, can you make sure you turn it down?
Hello. Yes.
Okay.
Well, hello, Tina. How are you doing?
I'm good, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am fine, Tina. I am excited about what God is doing in the kingdom. And obviously, God is excited about you finally getting to the point that you want to let him finish telling you what he wants to call you to do.
Oh, yes. I'm very excited. Very exciting.
You know, I tell you right now, Tina, you're a woman that had so many distractions over the last several years that there's something that God began telling you that he was going to use you to do that got interrupted. And I'm talking about a good 3 to 4 years ago. Now, God says that's why your dreams keep happening the way they're happening, because he's trying to resume that conversation.
Okay.
So you are going to have to make yourself available to the Lord.
Okay.
And you're busy now, aren't you?
No, I'm not busy now. I'm listening to you, and I actually was just trying to think 3 or 4 years ago.
In your life, you are busy now.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, I am.
That's what we're talking about. See how that? See that? And so
yes.
You're going to have to step. You see, God says stop penciling him in.
Okay.
He wants you to ink him in, you know, put him in, etch him in, because you are one of those people that you have to hear from God. You are, and because you're bright and because you're quick, you can just get 3 or 4 words and you can run with that for years. Problem is you don't ever finish what you want to finish, and you don't get the results you want. And that's where God is right now. He said, just spend some time. Sit down. Turn off the phone, turn off the television, turn off the world, you know, kids, family, dog, cat, bird, you know how we do. Turn that off and sit and listen, because I'm going to pray for you. But God says, I need you to develop a discipline that gives me my time when you say I'm going to get it.
Okay.
And that's where you are right now, because you are on the throes of change. I'm looking around you, and I'm thinking, boy, this lady does not have a clue about what's getting ready to change in her life. You are in the throes of change. And you got to get geared up for the upset. And it's not a negative upset, but it is going to be disturbing, okay? It's not negative. And so you have to get geared up for it, you know, and really get geared up for it, because you know how you like to get things well in advance?
Yes.
You're not getting that.
Yes, I do.
But you know you're not going to get that this time, right? That's why God wants to tell you now. Because when this thing kicks in gear, you'll have no time to prepare.
Okay.
So you have to hear the plan now. Get that little clipboard, because you like organization. Get that little clipboard and lay it out for yourself, because that's where you and God are. But he says, etch me in and stop penciling me in. He is excited about you. And I don't know how long you have been saved, but I know from a little girl, God has enjoyed you.
Yes. Yes, I love him so much, yes.
It shows. His heart is so warm toward you that from a little girl, he's enjoyed you. But he just wants you to realize that no matter how bright you are, how gifted you are, and how much he's helped you, you still need him daily bread. God said daily bread.
Yes.
Daily bread. And that's what he wants you to do, partake of his daily bread, because there are so many things that he wants you to do. Yes, you have a great business mind, great business idea. You're good at organization, and people love your personality. That's great, but you need him.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yes.
Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to see what else he wants to say. But let me pray that just while that was open to me, I wanted to give you that. Now,
okay.
Everybody that's listening, you all know that we record this. You can go back and listen to it. You can go back and download your word. That's the beauty of Block Talk, that you can go back and get it again. So please feel free to do that. Father, thank you for Tina. Lord God, I thank you for her. From even the sweet little girl she was at 8 years old, all the way up through those teen years, God, I thank you that even when the enemy would try to drag her off, this one had a heart for you and still has a heart, God. And I thank you that she has a Josiah heart for you, and that as you awaken her and continue to awaken her to your purpose and your will, she grows stronger, but she gets more clarity and she gets more definition in her life. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you order her steps. I'm also asking you, Father God, to set her clock, not just her natural clock to get with you, but her inner clock to stay with you and to move in your time and in your seasons. I'm asking, God, that you cause her to hear purpose in a way she's never heard it before, that she becomes clear on what you've called her to do, even the ministry that you've given her to do, God, even the business deal that she needs. I'm asking that you cause her to have clarity and that she realizes that unless she's with you and she seeks you first, she's not going to get all of the information that she needs. God, I'm asking that even the contract that she has to see, that she is, her eyes are open to the nuances, that she reads them with a fine-tooth comb, and that she doesn't just run through because it seems wonderful. I'm asking that you would give her patience to wait on you, but also patience to seek counsel along the way, because, Lord, what you have for her is way too great for her to hastily run headlong into it. So I'm thanking you for it, God. I'm thanking you for her deals coming out the way you said, but for her not to just assume it just because it's an opportunity that it is you. Let her filter. I'm asking for her filters to go up, her shields to go up, hallelujah, so that she can work through hand in hand with you everything that you're bringing to her, even all that you're putting on her plate. Show her, God, that she can manage it because you built her to do it. And I praise you, Father God, for doing it. I'm calling in counselors and funders and mentors for you, even as we speak, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, now, listen, you know you got to do this assessment with me too, right, so we can
yes.
know who you're doing, because you have such a business mind. I would love to know what God's talking about with you. Because
yes, ma'am.
You have a great business mind, and you have a great business idea. And as you're sitting here, and I'm communicating with you right now, Tina, I saw the Holy Spirit walk up and drop a business plan in your heart.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you so much.
The project is there for you. So listen, keep us posted, and go to my website. Take that assessment so you can get the rest of the details.
Yes, ma'am. I sure will.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a good day. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. Prophet?
Yes, it is the top of the hour, Dr. Price. We're going to take a few minutes and have some announcements, and then we'll be back with our next callers.
I'm excited about them all.
All right.
How would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your Ministry Assessment Questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess. Advise.
apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Scandal, deception, secret affairs, misappropriation of funds, nepotism, promotion without training or experience. Sound like Hollywood or perhaps Wall Street? Unfortunately, this has become more and more commonplace in the body of Christ. As a result, many people have lost faith in their leaders and no longer trust those put in place to watch over their spiritual growth. It's time for God's ministers to take back the ground that has been lost and provide qualified, competent, verifiable leadership that His people can rely on. So what is the first step to making this a reality? The answer is ministerial credentialing. Credentialing attests to the qualifications, competence, or authority that a person has in a particular field. Diplomas, degrees, certifications, and licenses are all a part of credentialing. Though credentialing programs exist for pastors, teachers, and evangelists, there is very little available to properly credential apostles and prophets. Until now. Dr. Paula Price, New Era Apostleship Restitution Council, and Kingdom Embassy University present CLOCK, our credentialing program that stands for Certification, Licensure, Ordination, and Commissioning. Whichever is appropriate for your calling or area of kingdom service, we have a program for you. Get trained and receive a certificate of completion or achievement, a license to perform or function in a ministry capacity, ordination to a designated ministry office, or commissioning to discharge an advanced professional ministry post. Take the first step today by going to www.ppmglobalresources.com and taking a ministry assessment questionnaire to find out where you fit and what kind of training you need. Be a part of the solution and make sure you are a leader that God and His people can rely on. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today. Within the business world, assessments have been used for years to make decisions about personal development, hiring, managing, promoting, and leading others. But what about God's business? What can His leaders use to assess their ministries and churches? The answer is PPM Global Resources Standardized Ministry Assessment. Have your ministry organization assessed to find out what kind of church or ministry you have, if you and your organization are on the same page and compatible, how willing and able your members are to take on the vision the Lord gave you, if you have the right people in position to achieve that vision, and if you can help your congregation or organization get into their purpose. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today and click on Group Assessment for more information and to get your ministry organization started. Or call 877-419-1299 to speak with a representative. PPM Global Resources. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
All right, and we are back, top of the next hour, and it's time for more ministry, Dr. Price. I know you're ready. You're fired up.
I am. I told you, I'm charged up. I love Thursdays. And you know what I like? I like when the sun shines beautifully here in Tulsa on a Thursday, because I look out the window and see the glory of God, and it just, to me, enthuses me more.
I have to agree. And I know our East Coast Saints, the Northeast Coast, had some storms yesterday, but I saw a lot of pictures of rainbows and double rainbows after some tornadic activity. So that's, God is on the move.
And God is a God of covenant, isn't He? All right, who do I have next?
All right, you have next on the line Pam from Georgia. Now, we've heard from Pam. It's been a while, but she is back on the line here. She says she's studying for an exam. She's having some difficulty, and she wants to know what the root of that is. So, Pam, welcome back to the Paula Price Show. It's been quite a few months, but it's good to hear your voice again.
Yes, good afternoon.
Well, how are you, Pam? It has been a long time. So what are you up to?
Well, I've switched over, so my friend, I'm not, helping, assisting with her caregiving. So it took, the end of May, we switched over, but the whole month of June, I've been with her sister who's helping with her care, and just, we've been praying for her. It's just been a lot of warfare prayers, demon manifestations coming up, and it's like, as I'm in the process of doing that, also was attempting to do my exam prep, but, you know, I literally got exhausted, tired, and, you know, I set a new schedule, prayed, committed to God, and now it's like, okay, I'm like a runner in blocks. The gun has gone off, but I feel like my feet are being held in the blocks where I can't run forward. And it's like, well, what is the root of this, Lord? It's like I get to this space, I'm ready to move forward, but the moment I want to study, I'm tired. I'm physically tired, I'm weary. What is this? What is, you know, I keep praying, and it's, so it's almost as though the more I pray, the more I feel like I'm under attack.
Well, you know, Pam, I'm going to, one of the things I want to say to you, and we talked about this, you know, your loyalty is like on steroids. And it really is. Your loyalty is way over the top. And in many ways, I think it's a little bit irrational. There are things you can't do. You cannot rescue the world. You cannot make God do what God is not interested in doing. You have to work with where he is. And so you get ready, because you just said it yourself. I get ready. I'm ready to go forward with my life. And then I go over here and help my friend, and I go and get caught up in all of that spiritual stuff and blah, blah, all of that. And now I'm back trying to do my life again. And I'm worn out. I mean, come on, that doesn't even take a whole lot of high prophetic acumen. You know, that you're scattering your resources. You are one person. You are scattering your resources. I know. I'm going to tell you, sometimes, Pam, I know there are people out there who are listening to us today who know you can get in bondage to your own theology. God's got to do it. I've listened to all of these CDs. I've listened to all of these tapes. I mean, God's got to do it. And I'll tell you something. I'm all for praying. But I also know, even when I pray for people, when God isn't going to do it. And so you need to get clear on that, because there is an instinct that he has, a way that he responds that lets you know, that's not, keep doing that, but understand I've got a whole other thing working here. And you need to get clear on that. You have to decide if you're going to get your life on track or you're not. And that means you have to focus to do what it takes to get you in the lane. But you're going to have to stop scattering your resources. You are one person. And as much as you love your friend, you don't love your friend more than the Lord Jesus does.
Amen. I agree.
You have to make up your mind what you're going to do. Because here's what I do know. When it's time for you to move forward and it's time for us to do things to change our life, particularly to improve our life, we are always going to have opposition anyway. The spirit that have worked with us and kept us in bondage to the point that we decided to exercise our will to get out of it, they don't go quietly into the night. They have a home. They're not going to do that. So now you go back into spiritual warfare. You go back into that world. So I have to say to you, do you really want to repair your life and get yourself on track?
Yeah.
What are you willing to set aside for that?
Good question.
I know, because that's the question. Me praying and 500 intercessors praying will not help you resolve what you're willing to do. You've invested a lot in this woman, and you have to make some hard decisions about that investment. Because the funny thing about when you invest in a person, that bond that's between you two is serious. And it becomes almost unbreakable. What I hear the Holy Spirit saying is that you have to decide what you're going to do. You're either going to be her caregiver and put the rest of your existence on hold, or you're going to establish yourself and do what you need to secure your own future. Because clearly God wants you to make a choice.
Gotcha.
It's hard, Pam. And I know it's hard because You know, you're a loyal woman. I tell you, you're the kind of friend people ought to bottle. But by the same token, sometimes friends like you destroy their own world and their own lives trying to handle something that is not going to get better. You're going to have to pick your fights. You're going to have to pick your warriors, and you're going to have to pick your obstacles. And you cannot win every battle. Some battles, not for you to win.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something
mm-hmm.
else. You have seen, Pam, you have seen either in a dream or in your prayer life, you've seen how this is going to go. God has told you. You don't like the answers. And it has nothing to do with your faith. It has nothing to do with our faith.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with things that we don't have a clue about. So I can pray for you to do this test, but if you turn around and she has another flare-up and or you say, you know, devil comes and uses her again and all of that, or it takes advantage of her again, you're gonna come off the wall. And you have to decide, Nehemiah, if you're going to stay on the wall or if you're going to get down on the ground.
Gotcha. I agree.
So,
I think that's been whirling in my head. You know, stay up on the wall and, you know, don't look at what's below. That's been what I've been dealing with, so.
Well, you can't fix this. You've been at it how many years? How many years have you done this?
Too long.
Thank
Too many.
You. Too many years, and your whole life is seeped away from you like water under a bad foundation for all of that time. Now, you have to decide, because you're going to seal your future. You have to decide what you want to seal as your future. I want you to think about that. So I'm going to pray, but I'm going to pray that this time you finish. That because see, I don't pray futile prayers. I'm not going to pray useless prayers. I am a real official of the kingdom, and I am a real steward of his dispensations. I take them to heart. So I don't pray useless prayers. I don't go after useless ventures. I know when to cut ties. I know when to end the thing. It's not going. I know that. And I had to learn that over those years. There's a lot that God has for you, and you are tying yourself up with one person when God may have literally dozens for you. But you have to get equipped to do that. So I'll pray. But I'm not going to pray the prayer you want right now because I'm not sure that you have come to terms with this closure.
Okay.
Okay, so let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for Pam and for what she's done. But, Lord, I'm asking that she hears from you once and for all how this is going to go and what her role is. I'm thanking you, God, that as she surrenders to you, you dispense to her what she needs to get her life on track to finish her assignments and her tasks. God, I'm thanking you that you let her see when these obstacles and distractions are coming out of nowhere and to recognize their purpose, recognize their objectives. And I'm thanking you for giving her the courage and the discernment to make the hard call and to do the hard things. God, she's a good friend, but she can't be a better friend to this situation than she is to her future life and to you. So I'm asking that you give her this opportunity, a window, to see it from your perspective, from your vantage point, and to act on it with your prudence and your wisdom. And I thank you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your prayer.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for the way it was done as well. There's a lot to glean just from that as well. So thank you.
Well, call me and let me know. Don't fall off the grid on me so much, okay?
Oh, no. Oh, no. So I was grateful to get in this time. So,
amen. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Have a wonderful day.
You, too.
Amen.
Prophet Ashley.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that was profound for a lot of us to think about.
What do you mean? As far as knowing when to end things?
Yeah, well, in the decisions that you have to make and how making one decision can automatically shut down other options?
Well, you know, I think that the church, and I would like to say the country at large, is coming out of the delusion that we can have it all and we can do it all. We're not all superhuman. You know, we may all be American, but we're not all superhuman. We may all be Christians, but we're not all superhuman. We don't all have the same capacities. But one of the things that I know God wants to get across is that I'm not always the issue. Sometimes we need to start at home, and at home is our heart. And at home is our vows, and at home is our decisions. So we have to start at those places where we can say, you know what, God, I don't know if this is prudent for me. I don't know if this is practical for me. We know in our own ministry, we know how many times God has said, you know, that's going to take you off course. Now, if you want to go off course, that's okay. But understand, I don't want you to come to me 3 years from now, 5 years from now, talking about, Lord, you prophesied that I'm going to do this or that, and I didn't do it, while you haven't taken stock of your own decisions and your own actions for it. Sometimes we have our emotional loyalty to situation, our emotional affinity is greater than our commitment to God's truth, because we think God's going to always be around. Here's the issue that we have to face with God, and I would say to all of you out there, listening to me today, our major issue with God is we have to realize just because he's eternal, we're not. And just because God is eternal does not mean that he wants to eternally work on one situation in our lives. There are times that we have to recognize God is a person with a lot of tasks and a lot of responsibilities and a lot of duties to apply his resources to. So, you know, we talked about this earlier with the whole Kadesh Barnea thing. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, sometimes we just run out our own clock. God has a designated time, a set-aside time for everything he has to accomplish. And within that window, we've got to work on it and know that that's the time. When he says, I need you to start so-and-so, and then we start running out of time, he'll begin to give us nudges. He'll begin to talk to us through visions, send us a prophet, speak to us through prayer. Okay, you need to get this finished now. Okay, this is the time. Okay, why is he saying that? He's not saying that because, well, we'll just miss it this month and we'll just pick it up next year. He's saying because I have to reallocate my resources. I have to send them someplace else. I've allocated you to have this 2-year, 3-year period to finish this book, to finish this whatever. I've allocated that. Now you're running out of time while you're thinking, well, it's God and God can do anything. I told God, you know how I love this man. I told God, I want him to give this church a class on just because I can do anything doesn't mean I'm going to do everything you want your way. I have a wisdom, I have a plan, and anything doesn't go with us. You know, we act like God is just one lone ranger sitting out there in Never Never Land doing nothing. God is the king on a throne. If he's a king on a throne, he has a kingdom. Hebrews says that God created the worlds. If that means world, that means he's ruling worlds. And he's got to allocate all of his strength and resources to keep all of that going. Now, he's able, and he surely juggles well. But we do have to learn to cooperate with him. And that's something that prophets and apostles are good at. We're brought into the timing of God. We're brought into the structure of God's kingdom. And we're brought into the customs of his behaviors and his actions. And you have to work within your window. A lot of us have bought into the idea that just because God can do anything, that he will do anything, and he'll do everything we want. We don't own him. He owns us. We didn't make him, he made us. We are the clay, he's the potter. And we have to realize that he already knows from before the foundation of the world how this is going to play out. But he's given us an opportunity to fulfill purpose and to get the best of what he has. So I would say to all of you all out there, don't fall prey to that. That's a trap of Satan to tell you, oh, God will fix it. God's not your servant. The Holy Ghost is a paracletos. That means he comes alongside. He doesn't take over. He's got enough on his plate. He wants to partner with us. But God is not going to force his superiority on us. We either want to reach up to it or we want to just postpone it until we get to heaven, whatever that is. But I would say to all of you all, don't listen to that. And I don't know who this word is for. Stop thinking because God can do anything. that he will do everything you want. He's not going to do it. There are things that are imprudent for him. God is an all-wise God, so there are things that are not prudent for him. There are things that are just not expedient. There are things that just are not advantageous for him and his purposes. And so as long as we don't buck up against that, we can play around with a lot of things. But when we buck up against that, we meet the guardians, the institution, we meet the forces that protect God's interest. And he's not going to allow his interest to be violated. He's not losing. And so, and sometimes we just need to know, the Bible said those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. So that is our thought, my thought on that, actually, as I think about that. And I don't know who that is out there, because there are somebody's on this line that God is saying, finish this thing up now. Act on it now. You're running out of time. The clock is running out. And when it does, I cannot stand with you in this any longer, because I have something else on my schedule I must move into doing. Now, God can do a lot of things. You understand? But see, when I talk about schedule, because I want to make sure people are clear on this, I'm talking about the person, the human people that he set up for. That person is going to be at that job X amount of time, X amount of weeks, X amount of months, X amount of years. When they move on, you don't know what's moving in. You don't know what's happening down the line. You don't know the policies are changing. Or you don't know. See, those are things that the Father knows, that the Lord Jesus knows, that you have no awareness of. So you're just lollygagging like the kid in the playing in the backyard. You know, I'm coming in, I'm going to eat, I'm coming in, I'm going to eat, I'm coming in. And then next thing you know, dad's got to go to work, the kitchen's clean, and you have no food. Because you have to take stock of all of the factors that go into making your life a success. And everything that God does has to be pinpoint accurate and precision time. And so just the fact that when you go to a bank, he told you to go at 1 o'clock, you went at 3, the person who was supposed to do it, who had a heart for what you were going to do or the authority to do it, is gone. But now you've got that 3 o'clocker who doesn't have a clue. Start working in the times and seasons of the Lord. There is a time and a season for every purpose and every work under the sun. We are going to learn that, and that's the one thing that God has. You know, after teaching on the 28th, seasons of God, we need to know that there's always, you have to factor in what he's doing, because there's a time that the grace isn't there, the resources for grace aren't there, somebody else has taken that slot, and there you go. Some opportunities are genuinely once in a lifetime. So anyhow, as you can see, Ashley, that's another one of my little tantrums. Isn't that great?
Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Well, you know, you would love it anyhow, because you're that prophet. You're that Kronos prophet. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go to bank now.
You know what? That's true. And there have been, and the time and the location. It's just now there are multiple locations for one branch in your city. And God has truly said, go to this branch today. Go right now. Because the person, and at this point, he'll just say, go to this one. You know, he's like, I shouldn't have to over-explain myself. And so when I do it, that person is there, and they will push something through, rework, bypass an automatic something in the system. They're like, oh, yeah, that's just automatic, that a regular teller or clerk does not even have the authority to do, even if they want to. So I love that. That example, I was shouting amen myself because I'm a witness.
I know that's why I thought, let me just throw this over to her, give you 30. You know what, let's give you 30 seconds, Ashley.
And I stayed in 30, see?
Who is next?
All right, we have Kimberly on the call from Canada. And so I'm excited that Canada is tuning in today. She would like some prayer for her family. She's going through some things. Welcome to the call, Kimberly from Canada.
Hi there.
Hello, Kimberly. How are you doing? I'm glad. Listen, I love Canada. I used to visit Canada a lot years back. And so it's been interesting because it's been in my spirit again. So having you on the phone today lets me know God is doing something in Canada. How are you doing and how can I help you?
I'm hanging on and I'm keeping the faith and trusting in Papa. And I've never done this before, and I was on Facebook and seeing your status to call in, and so he told me to call you, so I'm being obedient.
Well, being obedient is great, and let me tell you how much that is obedience, because, you see, we have a long list of callers. So the fact that you got through today means that the Lord has something for you.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, so listen, fill me in. How do we start?
Been going through trial after trial after trial, and, you know, God has been teaching me and refining me. But you know, it's just one thing right after another. Like, I'm from a family of six children. I have six children, and three of my siblings are homeless and addicted to drugs and on the streets. And, you know, my two older children aren't serving the Lord, and my husband has just walked away from the Lord recently. And you know, I need some encouragement, I guess, in my heart right now, because I feel really, I just wish that I could just, you know, when it just gets really dark and you know that Jesus is with you, but you just want to just a little glimpse into just, you know, to just give you that tighter grip to just keep on hanging on. And I mean, there's nothing, I've already declared that there will be nothing that will cause me to turn my back on the Lord. The enemy can bring whatever he has, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper or stand. And I'll continue to go into the enemy's camp and steal back what he's stolen from me. And I know he's mad because that's what I do. I'm a prayer warrior, and I fight against, you know, I know I'm called to do battle in the spiritual realm, and you know, nothing's going to stop me from doing that, nothing.
Well, let's talk about this here, because, you know, that's why let's talk, because I knew we won't get around to what you're doing to stir up the enemy, so I wanted to get around to that, Kimberly. So here's the thing. You say you're an intercessor, is that right?
Yeah, yes.
Are you an intercessor in your church?
Yes, I am.
So you go out, and when you're doing your intercession, and you say you're going in the enemy's camp and all of that, are you doing that through your church, under the auspices of your church?
I go to a very small church, and my church really, like, my pastor just started to believe in the workings of the Holy Spirit, and when the Lord had brought me to that church, I said, Papa, are you crazy? They're going to kick me out of here. but he told me to stay and to pray it through and to pray for my pastor, you know. And I've been there since 2003, and he's been allowing now prophetic words to be spoken in the church, where before, when I first came, you know, even just to talk about the Holy Spirit, freaked him out. And he's very, very honest and a very humble man, you know, that he was honest to say that that's where he was. But so now, you know, it's amazing. But
Kimberly,
he doesn't understand stuff like that, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Kimberly, I don't want to make this about your pastor, and I want you to answer my question directly so that we can get into what why you're calling me.
Okay.
I don't want you to fall in the testimony. We do that as Christians way too much. So let me go back. So you are interceding on your own. In other words, you're going out there, you're waging spiritual warfare as a Lone Ranger.
I have a group of friends that we get together every Friday and pray.
Okay. And so, but let me ask you this. So now, are your friends' lives working out?
In what manner,
so
ma'am?
Huh?
Pardon, ma'am?
Not so much, huh?
No.
Here's what I want to tell you. I want to tell you this. I know your country, and I know how challenging it is in your country to be a Christian. I do know that. I told you I used to come there a lot. And I want to tell you this. You engage the enemy, and somebody forgot to tell you he hits back. Someone forgot to tell you that. And someone also forgot to train you to have your shields up. So you hey, listen, your heart's for the Lord. You want to win souls for Christ and all of that, but you need to recognize that you have to be a part to do the things you're saying you do. You need to be a part of a formidable force, not a few folks getting together on Friday night talking about, hey, let's just go and buying drugs. See, a lot of you all are doing this in your circle because you're driven by your personal struggles. Well, we're just going to just knock out the spirit of drugs, and we're going to knock out this and that. Understand me, beloved, and I want you to hear me. I want you to set aside your religious training. I want you to set aside every sermon you heard. I want you to just hear me straight up wisdom. This is pure, just practical wisdom. You cannot go to take out the prince of anything if you yourself have not moved to that level. You took on warfare that you should not have taken on. Y'all went into areas, spiritually speaking, that you did not go, shouldn't have gone in. That's why you're having all of those apparitions. That's why you're having all those manifestations, because you are not equipped to go where you are. You are unlicensed and unauthorized. All God needed you to do was pray for that pastor to get that church growing so that church would become big enough to be able to cover what you're doing. So he hit back, and he hit back at all your weak things. You say, here's where I want you to think. We say spiritual warfare, and we think, really what we think is spiritual worship. Well, no, you need to know the difference between worship and warfare. Warfare means you're going to get an enemy, and he's going to hit back. And he's going to go after, and he's going to punish you for every victory you get. Now, that happens no matter what. That happens to all of us no matter what. But the bottom line is, and whether you continue doing this or not, I'm leaving that with God. But the bottom line is you cannot engage Satan and think he's not going to hit back. He's going to hit back, because that's what he does. That's why God said weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God. But he also said something, and I just hear this passage for you from Jesus. He said, who goes to war and not be sure he can win it? Because if he can't win the war, he has to send forth conditions of peace. In other words, he has to surrender and lose the war. So what you need to do is come off of that other thing and begin to just confine yourself to praying for your kids and praying for your family, or either be prepared to say, hey, God, this is a battle. I'm in it to win it, and we're just going to trust you in what we do, because you cannot go to that dimension of spiritual warfare and wonder why you're in a battle. That's the whole essence of warfare. I talk to intercessors all the time, and they're always saying the same thing. They're surprised in warfare. So, wait a minute, didn't you say that's what you were going after to do? That's like the soldier going to a war in a war zone talking about, my God, I didn't think that they would have guns. I didn't think they'd shoot back. No, you're in a war zone. You created a war zone. You created a warfare platform, and now you are way out there. So I will pray for you, because I do think you did not know how serious this was. But you have to recognize, if you ever decide to take on any kind of spiritual campaign, you better know it's God, you better know God is with you, and you better know he's giving you the victory. You don't do it just because you can. That's like a cop saying, just because I got a gun, I'm going to shoot it. Just because I can yell at people, I'll do it. Just because I can stop traffic, I'll stop it. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Paul said all things are lawful, but not everything is expedient. I think, I am convinced that you got in a battle, y'all got in a tangle that you can't get out of. And this devil is serious. Kimberly?
Yep.
You're going to have to back out.
I'm just trying to think of what I was, because really when I went into battle, it was just for my children and my husband. And then when I did that, that's when this started to happen. So it wasn't for my pastor even. So that's where I'm just a little bit confused.
But Kimberly, you engaged this other people. You said we all get together.
Yeah. To pray for each other, and they pray for my family and such like that. But it wasn't for the pastor specifically.
Well, first of all, God told you to pray for the pastor specifically, so it should have been.
Let
me finish.
Yeah.
he told you to pray for the pastor, you went and got a prayer group to pray for something else, and everybody started praying for their personal issues.
No, it wasn't like that. No,
Harvey, let me ask you a question. Did you not just say to me, and we go and pray for each other?
Yes, yes.
Did I not just, okay, you said that, right?
Yep, but I didn't say that we get together to pray for the pastor specifically. It was just a group, cells, I guess they call them, churches where people in the church get together outside of the church.
Kimberly, listen to me. I'm not dealing with that. So you're going off on a whole other tangent. I'm saying you told us that God sent you to that church, and then you thought it was crazy, and then God told you to pray for the pastor for it to happen, and it has worked, and he's warming up to the prophetic. Now, that's what you told me. Then you told me, let me finish what I heard, so I may have heard you wrong. Then you told me I get together with some people on Friday night, and they pray, and we pray for each other.
Yeah.
So if you said that, then I'm not wrong in what I'm understanding. What I'm saying to you is that you all, in praying even your personal issues, obviously went out there in a place that you shouldn't have gone, and you attracted some powers that you weren't ready to contend with. Now, whether it was about your kids or whether it was about so-and-so's kids or so-and-so's job, but you have to recognize you started out by telling spiritual warfare, I'm going after the devil, I'm snatching people out of his kingdom, I'm pulling back, and I'm not going to stop. You said that. You were militant when you
No, no, and I think that, and that's where I'm saying to you right now that I believe that that's where it happened, because I didn't pray that with them that's when two of my siblings ended up being homeless on the streets, and then I got angry, and I was like, you're not going to have my family, and that's when I started to contend for their lives, because they're all know the Lord and have are backslidden, and so that's anyways, it just seems like everything was connected to that, and I do agree, maybe I should have been praying with somebody, and I wasn't aware of how dangerous that was.
Exactly, and that's all I want you to get out of this call, my beloved. I don't want you to walk away feeling like, oh, my God, I did the worst thing. I want you to get that these, even though it looks simple, because we make intercession sound like it's simple, you just go and snatch your children out of the mountain. You just go and do that. They gave us reckless information. All of us, Kimberly, all of us are victims of it, okay? They gave us the cavalier information, the reckless information, and they did not let us know that those people were bound by real spirits, real devils. When Jesus walked the planet, he saw pretty-looking people with ugly devils screaming out, because he knew he was dealing with real forces and real powers. My statement to you, and I maintain, you need to back up out of that. That's number one. You need to get under a stronger covering. That's number two, because apparently the church you're in does not have the prayer force, the prayer shield for you all to engage in that dimension of spiritual warfare. So you need to loose it and say, you know what, God, I'm just going to say a prayer for my family every day. I'm just going to do simple praying for my kids, and I'm going to trust you to do that. I'm going to pray for my husband. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to trust you to do that. And you're going to stop stampeding heaven like you've got the Calvary of the Holy Ghost behind you. You don't have that clearly. Because we do that here. And listen to me, baby. We do that here in America, but we got a covering.
Okay.
So you have to wait until God gives you license to go after that. Because when he gives you license, it's not just approval. He also gives you weapons of war, forces, and a force of people to see to it that you don't get taken out.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to pray. I want you to back out of that. If you're not going to change your church and get under a stronger leader and a stronger prayer with a stronger prayer shield, loose that and let it go, because you are going to get eaten alive.
Okay.
Now, let me pray for you. Jesus, we just hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Rabone, God, I thank you for this woman. Now, I'm asking you, God, right now to just cut off this tirade, cut off this rampage in her life. I'm asking that you right now step into it out of mercy, God. We do a lot of things out of ignorance, but that's right, we have mercy. So I'm asking you, God, out of mercy, to break this tirade in her life, to cut off this rampage in Jesus' name by the Holy Ghost. Now, I come against every unclean force that is riding on their error. I cancel your assignment. I command you to cease and desist. You are now null and void in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would send them the most powerful people that are in their sphere to clean up this mess in the spirit, and God, to get her people, her kids off drugs, and her family in home. Now, Lord, I thank you for doing it. I'm asking you for mercy, God. That's all we got right now is mercy. And I'm God, I thank you for it. And Lord, I'm thanking you for flanking your people, flanking them about in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm thanking you for shutting their mouths, because even in their decrees and declarations, they have stirred up things that's reverberating on them. I send peace to your home. I send peace to your life. I command every foul, unclean thing that is harassing you today to be cast into the abyss in Jesus' name. I settle this thing. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would lead her to the church she should be in, or, Lord, keep them out of your realm until they're ready. And I'm thanking you for giving them training. Now, I'm sending for deliverance to your house. I dispatch deliverance to your home in Jesus' name. And I dispatch healing. Now, you be at peace. Now, Kimberly, y'all stop that.
Okay.
And you go to God, and you and God, you find out what he wants to do. The first thing God is saying to you is read your Bible. You don't know it enough. Get in your Bible and read your word. And the second thing he wants you to do is listen for him, because he's going to guide your feet somewhere for you to get some protection in this area in your land. So be prepared to follow the voice of God. Now I send you forth peace, beloved. I send you the peace of Almighty God. I send you the rest and the comfort of God. But you're going to have to realize that just because you hear a sermon doesn't mean you're equipped to implement it.
Okay.
Some of those sermons, you know, a sermon is a public address. So you have to go out to treat everybody that's in the hearing, listening audience. But that doesn't mean that it's for everybody that's in that audience to act on. So I want you to do that. Now, I want to tell you one other thing, sweetheart. I want you to call my office, go to my website, and find out how to do it. But call my office so you can talk to some of these advisors, because you need more prayer, and our intercessors are going to pray for you.
Okay.
All right? So you can listen for the number, because Ashley will give you the number at the end of it, and we're going to send you peace in Jesus' name. But you need these intercessors, because you need somebody to help clean this stuff up off of y'all, because this is pretty bad.
Okay.
All right, beloved?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you called. Call me back, baby, because I want to know how it's going with you.
Okay.
All right. God bless.
Okay.
Prophet?
Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick breather, and then we're going to come back with one more caller on the line who is in the queue, and then that will be today's show.
Hallelujah. Well, I thank you for the breather and the caller.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to PPM Global Resources, your one-stop ministry resource company. Whether ministry, professional, or personal, our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Explore the possibilities to conquer your world. Where are you going today? Ready to launch your own ministry? Want to develop a ministry training program? Looking for credible ministry education? You want guidance or direction? Maybe you just want to discover who you are. If you are a purpose seeker, looking for fresh resources, new ministry solutions, and endless possibilities, then welcome to PPM Global Resources, a ministry and professional resources company dedicated to meeting the needs of the 21st century minister. Why choose PPM Global? Because you want something better. We help build your vision, educate you in your calling, train you to succeed, teach you valuable skills, equip you to achieve, release you to conquer your world. Our business is your interests, whether ministry, professional, or personal. Our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. Think of us as your personal vision support team. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Your success is our passion. Check us out online or contact us at 877-649-PPMG.
All right. We are back, Dr. Price. I hope you had a breath and a break.
I did, and two sips of water.
Excellent. Well, your last caller today is actually another Kimberly from Louisiana this time, and she is calling for direction. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Kimberly.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry, Dr. Price. I was headed to the dentist. I didn't want to hang up. Hold one second.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I apologize for the noise.
That's fine. Listen, you got to do that dental thing. So, Kimberly, how are you doing today, and how can I help you?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Price. My only concern was I'm a dreamer, and I had some ideas about writing a book about my dreams. But I don't know
okay.
how, about how to go about doing it or what have you.
Well, do you have a lot of dreams, Kimberly? I mean, do you have a book's worth of dreams, and are they diverse enough for other people
yes.
to connect with, or are they specific to you and your life?
Well, let me tell you how many I have. I have so many. I almost dream every other night. I have them in my phone, in my memo pad. I have them in little notebooks. I have them in the back of my Bible. I have a lot of them.
Okay, so now let me ask you a question. When you write these dreams, let's say you compile them into a book, why would I read it? What would make me want to read about your dreams? I dream too.
Good question. I have no answer for you.
Well, see, until you get that answer, you're just going to have a nice journal, but it's not going to be helpful. Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about
I take that back, Dr. Price. I'm sorry for interrupting. A few of my dreams that I dream, the incident, if I don't get on it and pray about it, let me explain it like this. I would have a dream and things would occur and I'd be hard-headed. I wouldn't pray about it. I'd just tell one of my friends, we'd talk about it, and, she'll tell me what to do. You need to pray and ask God for this or that. And I wouldn't do it. I just, okay, I'm having a dream. I just write it down. But now when he gives me something, like recently he just gave me one about branches being cut. And so I began to get on that and pray on that. He was just exposing some things to me about my association. So, I mean, they do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But even with that, I need to find out, because a book is a public message, not a private interpretation. So if the book is about your, like example, if you let's say you want to pray about your prayer, okay? You want to write about your prayer. But you're going to write about those prayers, and you're going to say, well, this is what it did for me, and then this is how I prayed it for this reason. So we need you, before you write your book, I'm not telling you not to write your book. I'm not sure that you have a book, but I'm not telling you not to write it, because I would have to talk to you a lot more on that order. But I can tell you these things. You don't write a book because of your experience, unless your experience can help a lot of readers. A book is a very expensive project. So you have to decide whether you're going to write this book and it's going to be a little workbook or handbook that you use to travel around ministering, or if you're going to make a book that you expect to put on the open market and have a lot of people buy it. But I will say this to you about dreams. You have to determine whether or not that dream is for you or the body. That's number one. And I'm going to say it to you in this way so that when you go back and call into the line and listen to this, you can write these points down. So you have to decide, number one, is the book about you and the body? Number two, why does the body need to hear it? Number three, why were you chosen to dream it? And then number four, is the dream time-bound? Like, for example, is that dream an example? Is it an illustration? Or is it a prophecy? If it's a prophecy, is it down the line or is it past due or what? If you're going to give me a past due prophecy, then I need you to give me some practical wisdom for why it can happen or why it's useful to the present and the future. Every dream has to be known for that. I think you have the anointing of a vision as a dream of dreams. I don't have a question about that. But if that's the case, I'm not sure that your dream life is not supposed to be attached to a prophetic company and therefore being a part of a seer or something else. I'm not entirely sure that it's about writing a book. I am sure that it's a tool that God uses and he wants to use with you in the body. That's the next thing I want to say. Following up on that, I'd like to see you get some training so you'll understand what the dreams are, because if God is raising you up as a dreamer like that, then you have to pray for interpretation, because if that's the case, then you need to be skilled in the interpretation.
Amen. Thank you so much.
So you got a lot going on. I think it's amazing, but you still want to do that. So, and that's a lot of years. You know, dream interpretation, we like to make you think it's all spontaneous. It isn't. You will only interpret dreams effectively to the extent that you are educated in interpretive language, in symbolic language. You know, otherwise you will interpret a dream based on what it means to you. But in terms of what it will mean to the corporate body of Christ, or just to a wide readership, Christ or not, that's something different. And so that's a lot of years of work. You know, Daniel had 3.5 years of training, served the king for a little bit before he got to interpret the dream that got him his promotion. But this man was already highly trained in Israel. So he had a lot of exposure to a lot, and a lot of faith and a lot of generic information. I'm talking about now general spiritual information. So I don't think that you should or shouldn't write your book. I think that you are a little premature in attempting to do so, but I am convinced that you belong in a group where your dreams are supposed to support a seer and a prophet.
Amen. I just wanted to say I'm actually connected to someone that attends your I think you guys just had something in Tulsa.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
A prophetic forum. So I want you to take my assessment if you haven't taken it, so we can find out who you are in God and what your call is. But you need to you need a lot of development and a lot of training, because you have to get the mind of this thing, and you have to get the Christ mind. Because let me tell you something, Jesus Christ is not the only one that gives dreams. Your soul will dream because it's processing information and it's cataloging and logging things while you sleep. So you have your soul dreaming. You have your spirit dreaming on its own. You have the Lord Jesus giving you visions and dreams, and you got other support forces. You know, sometimes a TV show will trigger a dream, whether or not it's good or bad. Now, you need to be able to discern the nature, the source, and all of that of your dreams. It just can't be, I had this wonderful experience. Dreams are not like watching a movie. They have, if God gives you a prophetic dream, and I believe you have a lot of prophetic dreams, but if he gives you a prophetic dream, then you need to understand the prophetic for it to make sense.
Right.
So you've got a great future ahead of you, girl. I'm telling you, you have a marvelous future ahead of you, and I'm praying for you to be connected to the right people. So before you decide to give it to the world, let's make sure it's working in you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let me pray for you before you go, beloved. Father, thank you for Kimberly. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a great work in her and that you are working her, raising her up as a seer in your kingdom, Lord, as well as a dreamer. And I'm asking that you connect her with the people who will develop her, help her get good training, help her get good schooling, and, Lord, also help her get somebody who's going to purge this thing so that it brings you the utmost of glory. I'm asking you to shield her so she's not tripped up, falling into some other unclean thing. I'm asking you to shield her and protect her and put those guards around her and those trainers and mentors around her who will stabilize this thing and refine it so it's good for the master's use. And I thank you for doing it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So listen, I want you to go and get that, take that assessment, and also get a hold of my handbook, my prophet's handbook, and my prophet's dictionary, because they're going to help.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, you got a lot going on.
God.
You got a lot going on, girl. Woo, Jesus.
Ma'am.
All right, so listen, stay in touch, beloved. I do want to hear your progress, but take that assessment so you can connect with one of our advisors, because our advisor can kind of coach you through this thing. I know you have a pastor, I know you have a church, but God is obviously doing something very specific with you. You should be cooperating with him on that, but you also have to be brought into his awareness on it, his mind on it.
Okay, I will.
All righty?
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you.
God bless you, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Prophet.
Apostle.
Aha!
What a show. What a show. I have to take this moment to quote Prophet Adia Peterson. She put out there that moment when you're listening to the Paula Price Show and you say you've just been Dr. Price. She said, "Oh my God, good show today. We have been Dr. Price today."
Lord. Well, it has been a great show, and I'm looking forward to God doing wonderful things. I want to, you know, I appreciate the two Kimberlys at the end. You know, that's like my fourth Kimberly that I have up right now. So I got four Kimberlys.
That's
I'm
true.
Loving them.
Yeah.
See, I'm loving all my Kimberlys, you know, and I probably have a few more that I don't know about. But I do want to say as we wrap this up today, Ashley, I want to encourage you to take the assessment. Because God is awakening the body of Christ in a new way. He's ready to move forward with the prophetic, and as a result, he's summoning so many of you into his service. Don't just get up and run on the old rules. We have new forces, new powers, new spirits. You need to learn those, and they're not operating the way we were because the church is in a different posture. Our form is called the Daniel Prophetic Era for a reason. Because in the era that Daniel was a prophet, God's nation was empty. God was devastated. They were literally deported from their homeland and forced to work in a Babylonian palace under the king of Nebuchadnezzar, a kingdom that was known to have no less than 12,000 deities that they worshipped. It's almost as if they went back to where Abraham began. And so I would say to all of you, don't be so quick to just get up and go on the old rules. You're not going to do the prophetic as we did it in the church any longer. You're going to have to get used to operating in Babylon, which is confusion. You're going to have to get used to working with a fusion of a whole lot of things and still know their God. Daniel found out at the end, but those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. But it took him a lot of years, and he went through a lot of battles and a lot of trials. So that's why we are the Daniel Prophetic Era, because that's the era that the prophetic is operating under in this particular time and dispensation. So you see, Ashley, I wanted to get that out before we wrapped up today.
Excellent. Excellent point. It's the sprinkles on top.
Yeah, you see, you like sprinkles, so that's going to be really great. Well, we had a good show today, don't you think?
Oh,
I got a
I
lot of people in here.
Yeah, and I think the overall theme of today is don't miss your window for a variety of reasons, but the end result is often still the same. Don't miss your window.
Exactly, and it's so easy to do so. It is so easy to do that. It's easy for you to think, oh, my gosh, I have all the time in the world. Who does that? Most of our young people. But I'm going to get my sin out. I'm going to get my mess out. I'm going to get my stuff out, and then I'm going to serve God. And even though God is great and he uses you, for some people, you'll never know what you could have had you picked it up when God was ready to use you. And so we have to be extraordinarily careful in our ministries and in our callings, but also in our Christian walk and our walk with Christ, that we are in his time zone and on his clock. We don't want to miss that. So I thought that was really great to know. And again, Ashley, you know, my dictionary, we deal with a lot of dreams, not all of them, because the dictionary was not necessarily written for dreams as much as it was written for prophets for whom dreams are most plentiful. But I would tell everybody, get that dictionary, pull out your dictionary and read about it. But also, please, folks, get in the Bible. That is my final word for today. learn your God. You can't know your God if you don't read him. And the only way we can find our invisible God is reading him. Why? Not because God can't show up, but because we won't recognize his God or not. So
indeed.
Get in your Bible. So, Ashley, I think you have some closing messages. I would say to everybody, thank you for joining us today. We had a great time. Hey, Facebook me. Let me know your feedback. Let me know what you think. And by all means, join us again next week on our Thursday morning Paula Price Show. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.